Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators, part of the Stadium & Gale Network and presented by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. Norris & Norris PA is out of Lake City, Florida. They are a preeminent law firm serving North Florida since 1985. You need to give Guy a call at 386-752-7240. If you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate wills, or trust and estate planning. Well, we come to you guys fresh off a 76-62 victory. It's a 12th-ranked Gators takedown, the South Carolina Gamecocks. Kind of a DC, I know you were in attendance tonight, along as myself. Just talk about the crowd tonight. The Gators, six straight wins, longest winning streak of the year so far.
Hey, you got to win six in a row to win the tournament, so it's good to know we can do it. A little bit of a ho-hum game. I think that you kind of saw the heavy legs reveal themselves a little bit in this one. It looked like they were tired, which is understandable. I mean, third game in 6 days. The last couple games were, you know, against teams like Kentucky and Georgia and a couple road trips. So it's been kind of building up to get through that stretch, and then you have a home game against a team that you beat by 47 points. So a systematic win. It's hard to be too overly critical. I think there were things that Todd Golden would be the first one to say that needs to get cleaned up. But whenever you win by 14 points on the road or 14 points at home in league play, there's only so much you can say negative about it.
Yes. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? You know, I know you guys were there. I didn't get to catch a whole lot of it. Saw the clips, kind of an opportune time for here on the West Coast. But, you know, you went at home by 14. And like you mentioned, Devin, you already beat them by 47. So that's 61 points on South Carolina this year. You know, I see some sloppy efforts and, you know, maybe some missed opportunities to have a bigger of a win. But it is what it is. Keep stacking wins. Keep going. Another opportunity coming this weekend to take care of business in a statement way if you really want to. But yeah, it looked like the bigs had a good night. You know, I think from last game against South Carolina, when you won by 47 points, you saw that you can just run the game through them and kind of just go from there. So don't want to take too much of it, but we're continuing to roll, and this team is continuing to play really good basketball at the right time, and we like to see that.
To that point, too, Sam, just real quick, Ruben played 24 minutes tonight, and I think about 3 minutes in, he had 5 points and seven rebounds, and it was pretty obvious what he was going to do tonight if he would have gotten to 32, 33 minutes like Condon and Hout got. Go ahead, Jackson. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No problem. But we brought that up previously. When we go around and look at where he ranks nationally in terms of rebounds per game, he's up there in the top five. But his minutes per game is still around that 21, 22 mark. Micah checks in at the under 16. Today it was actually pretty nice. We got all the way to 13-minute mark before we went to the official TV timeout. So that nice pace of play early. I thought we played really well. I think we had 25 points in the first 11 minutes, you know, on pace for 90-plus. And then the game kind of slowed down a little bit. A lot of ticky-tacky fouls. I think 17 combined fouls in the final 8 minutes of the first half. Just kind of took us out of our rhythm. Some sloppy turnovers, 14 on the night. I would imagine, without having this up in front of me, that's probably the most we've had in a month, maybe longer, unless another game comes to your mind where we've turned it over that much. I know Condon had a 6 or 7 turnover game, you know, thrown in there, maybe the Auburn game. But just kind of an all-around just weird night. You'd look up in the second half and you'd see the Gators up 15, 16. You get all the way up to 20. 22 points. You know, like, how do we get to this point? We never really had that big dominating run where you thought we were going to step on their throat in this game, you know, with 8, 9 minutes left, get some reserves, a little bit more minutes than what they accumulated tonight. But again, like we've stated, don't take 14-point SEC wins, you know, point victories for granted. We've endured a lot of bad basketball in the last 8, 9 years. And, you know, there's just a lot of high expectations for this team. We understand what championship level ball is. And we might not have played that the last two games, really three games. I didn't think we were extremely crisp on the road in Athens. But two, again, like you mentioned, Dev, three games in 6 days. I think that's the first time we've had that this year. You get big road win, emotional win against a former player, against Kentucky. You know, you beat them for the first time in 6 years in Gainesville. So it's better to learn from a victory like this than it is certainly a loss. Like we had to take against Auburn to kind of get this win streak going. It's always pleasant to see Ruben be Ruben. For him to get his 11th point to notch it with to go along with his 13 boards in the first half with that kind of put back slam to get the crowd into it finally. You know, you're waiting for that moment to get the crowd off its feet.
That kind of goes to the whole point. I would push back on us not being crisp in Athens. I mean, you open the game with a kill shot, you win by 20 on the road against a team that's kind of fighting for their tournament life. I thought we played pretty darn good against Georgia. And then Kentucky, there's always something satisfying about beating Kentucky. And then the way that game played out, you kind of let them back in the game. It was, you know, we kind of kept them at an arm's length instead of really stepping on their throat. And you end up winning a big game against a rival at home by 9. And it's just kind of indicative of where the program's at, that you kind of feel a little empty that you've only beaten a team by 14 points in the league. To move to 11-2 in league play makes you just realize how fast you can get spoiled in college basketball. We saw a lot of average basketball, like you said, over the 7 years Mike White was here. And now just to be running teams out of the gym, even on nights that you don't play well, it's really, really impressive what Golden and the staff have done and how they've elevated that standard back to what Billy Donovan built. Digging in a little bit on guys tonight, I thought that it was a strange night for Tommy Houck. It's a sharpshooter. Tommy Houck goes 3 for 5 from three, but it's kind of a non-factor otherwise. 10 points feels like it's the lowest output he had maybe in all of conference play so far. And then you had Alex Condon, who was awesome at times and then just makes 5 or 6 of the most head scratching plays, you know, you'll see all night. So it was a weird game. It was clunky. There was a point, I think the score was 31-17 when the, officials just decided that they were going to call an offensive foul, a phantom offensive foul on Xavier Lee. And then another phantom foul when we were on defense. Ball goes out of bounds after South Carolina travels with it. And then they end up getting fouled on a shot attempt. And it just seemed like those four calls all going against Florida within a 20-second period of one another. It just kind of put the whole game into a funk after that. And it just felt clunky, as we've kind of touched on. So one of those nights, got to play better probably going into to Oxford on Saturday. But there's only so much you can complain about, like we've said, when you're 11-2 in the SEC.
Yeah, one of the best starts in program history in league play, 6 straight. I think we've won those by an average of like 19 or 20 points, something just remarkable. So when you win by 14, it just doesn't feel the same as it has in the 5 previous matchups. But I thought Xavier played really well tonight, outside of his 5 turnovers, which I don't know what happened in that second half. It just felt like our players couldn't hold on to the basketball. Zay Brown had a turnover trying to throw a lob to Tommy. You know, a few guys just felt like Boogie was in the crowd again eating popcorn and put all that butter on the ball. Because we were in position a lot to make some big-time plays in transition. I thought guys were moving well. We just didn't capitalize. This game should have been a 20-25-point victory if we don't make some head-scratching plays. That's part of it. Like you said, Dev, maybe just playing with a little bit of heavy legs, but no one's complaining about being 11-2 in league play with 4 to go. Arkansas plays at Alabama Wednesday night. By the time most of you guys listen, it'll be tonight. So really an opportunity for the Gators to extend their conference lead. I know I'm a little bit a little selfish here. I am a slight Arkansas fan just thanks to my family members. So I'd like it for it to be a top 15 matchup in the O-Dome, a little bit more excitement come 10 days from now. But a real good chance still for the Gators to win and create separation, depending on how the result goes in Tuscaloosa.
Well, to the point of the average basketball that we've been accustomed to, I feel like if this podcast started during the Mike White era, we'd be talking like second weekend with a 14-point conference win. Like, it's insane to complain. I mean, I understand, you know, should win by more, but we've been spoiled to the riches with Todd. And he, like you guys mentioned, he definitely wanted to win by more too. He felt that there were some missed opportunities, but yeah, it's a treat. And other things, you know, like you mentioned, just getting in transition more, the alley-oop, the steal by Chin to then Xavian. And that's kind of what we – kind of the epitome of this team was expected to be, running in transition, lobbing it up to the bigs, dunking it down. So, but yeah, we'll just hopefully keep it rolling. And Chin's the man. We love Chin.
It's almost like comical at this point watching him play, right? Like we've seen a lot of really good basketball players come through this program. We had a obviously star-studded backcourt last year. We've got a really, really good front court this year. But something about watching Ruben play basketball, it's just how routine and effortless it comes. Just, you know, it's a ball watching him play. It's him hustling. I thought they did a real good job of getting the ball to him in the low post. I know we've mentioned that a few times, just kind of the style of how the game goes. Recently, he hasn't been too involved getting the ball on the low post and scoring. It's been cleaning up the boards. But tonight, I thought he did a real good job being a little bit more controlled. I know we discussed that over the last few games. But yeah, this guy he's quite the character. And then the teammate he is, Ollie. We didn't think he was going to get in just because our lead kept shrinking a little bit as the reserves got in. But he's the one on the sidelines firing up the crowd, even chanting, "We want Ollie." You just can't say enough about this guy. First team, all SEC player. He's probably going to win National Defensive Player of the Year. And I don't understand how he's not a first or second team All-American as well.
I wouldn't quite say he's the heartbeat because I do still think that is Tommy, but – you can tell that like his energy is infectious, and it's not like, it's just like you said, it's so much fun to watch him play. Like it's obviously completely different to watching Walter Clayton Jr. play basketball, but still kind of like that same effect. Like it just like drags you in and you're just so happy that he's on your team, and you can tell he's having so much fun out there, and his story is just incredible, and his overall development. And yeah, like I said, I still think Tommy is the true heartbeat of the team, but the team feeds off of Chin, I would say maybe even more.
It's really amazing seeing how dominant our front court is too. I know that it's become popular to make the comparison to the 2016-2017 North Carolina National Championship team and how the front court's constructed. But watching us play, especially in person, and seeing how much bigger they are than everybody we play against. I mean, Kentucky matched up, you know, size for size, body for body with this a little bit. Auburn did too. But a night like tonight, it was obvious from the opening tip off that South Carolina didn't have the bodies to match up. There wasn't any scheme that Lamont Paris could throw at you to match up with Ruben Chinyelu and with Alex Condon and with Tommy Houck. And then when Han Logden came in, he struggled a little bit more today, I thought, than he has lately. But he's you know, playing in his role and doing what's asked of him. But they just didn't have the bodies to go blow for blow, which we kind of knew that coming in anyway. But it's always fun watching this front court play and watching them go to work, because it's just so impressive seeing how they handle, you know, not elite SEC competition, but really good basketball teams that they make look like they haven't, you know, they don't have the Division I bodies.
Yeah, and just another defensive night. I thought South Carolina made a lot of tough shots in that second half, especially out of the gate. But for us to hold another team below 40% shooting, 21% from the three-point line, just the way this team can beat you up, it's truly remarkable. We've talked about how Todd's constructed the roster and how we've played through our identity in the front court. But it's just night in, night out, 11-2, six straight, 20 wins. I think I saw Neil Blackman throw a tweet after the game, how many 20 win seasons we've had since the turn of the century. And we're up there with Duke, UNC, Kansas, Michigan State, Memphis, and maybe Arizona. There's one more team, I believe. That's a pretty star-studded group to be some blue bloods to be a part of. And what was that number, Dev? I saw you mouth it.
22 out of 26 years now that we've won 20 games in a season.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. That'll play.
And that's now what, nine or 10 14-point or more victories in league play this year?
I think that's nine.
Nine. Because Kentucky and Vanderbilt were 4-9, I believe.
Another night, too, where we out-rebounded a conference opponent 40-37 tonight, so plus 17. I think it was Ruben and Condon by themselves had 27, and South Carolina as a team had 30.
Well, I think Todd even quipped during the post-game press conference, like, you know, hey, Tommy only had one board tonight. When he goes, well, hell, did you see the two guys next to me? They had 27. You know, there's not that many opportunities for anybody else to get a rebound if those two are virtually getting every single ball coming off the glass.
Pretty nice luxury to have.
And that includes, I think, Hanlockton had 8 or 9. He had 9. So he had 5 points, 9 rebounds. An assist, a block, 5 offensive rebounds for him. I thought he played really well tonight in like 16 or 17 minutes. He had one nice move down low late in the second half, scoring the basketball. If we can continue to kind of get this effort out of Mike, he also had one, a loose ball he jumped on the floor for. I don't know what the end result was as we pushed the ball in transition. But, you know, you're getting effort like that out of your fourth best big man. Again, we don't win March without him last year burning his red shirt, despite how good the guard play was. You know, we lost Sam Alexis late in the year with some injuries. So Mike is really, he's got his identity on this team. And if he continues to play like he has the last two outings, this seems dangerous moving forward.
Yeah, I was a little harsh on him. I didn't realize he had 9 rebounds himself.
Thought he played really good.
One of the things that I brought up, at least in the group text, that maybe we want to wait until the whole group's here to discuss, is talking about what it means to win the league in the regular season. And, you know, with all the minutes that these returning guys especially have piled up, I wouldn't be heartbroken. Now, it's very matchup dependent, but I wouldn't be heartbroken to see this, you know, SEC tournament run be cut a little short, not have to play 3 straight games in 3 days and let these guys get some rest. If they're tired now, I imagine it wouldn't help matters going into the NCAA tournament to play 3 games in 3 days. So I'm as competitive as they come. When it comes time for the SEC tournament, I'm going to be all in, want to raise a second banner, want to win the regular season and the conference tournament in the same year. But it wouldn't break my heart to see these guys get a couple of extra days of rest going into the NCAA tournament.
You know, Dev, I think I had that same thought last year when we obviously went on the crazy run and they shot me. So, no, I don't hate the idea. And I think if you win the regular season, you can kind of afford that to happen, because I think, especially the last few years, it's not as competitive, the SEC, but winning the SEC regular season was significant, and whatever happened in the SEC tournament, you know, the chips fall where they may. Obviously, we got one, but yeah, I don't hate that thought at all. If we can win the regular season, maybe we don't have a great showing one day in the tournament, and if we've seen anything from this season is where we go on a win streak after we lose a game. So I like where your head's at, Devin.
Well, yeah, the thing almost, last year – go ahead, Jackson.
It's almost comparable to the SEC baseball season and the SEC baseball tournament. Obviously, the best conference in baseball year in and year out. You want to clinch that regular season title, and then you get to Hoover, and so be it. You don't want your best arms throwing, 90 to 100 pitches before you got to go play a regional matchup. I'm on board with winning SEC regular season title, dropping a game, as much as it's going to stink in the moment, because we're probably going to be playing a Tennessee or a Kentucky or an Auburn or an Arkansas, and I don't like seeing us lose by any means, but I would certainly take that trade off if that means the Gators are fresh legs going into March. Hopefully we're in Tampa. But as we know how last year went at the bracket, we could have some long travel. So the more rest we can get, the better.
The thing about last year's team was we weren't going to win the regular season, and you don't know what's going to happen in the tournament. So
correct.
I wanted to win the SEC tournament last year because of how good last year's team was. Yep. It would have been super disappointing for us to, lose to Tennessee in that SEC championship game in the tournament, and then turn around and lose that round of 32 game against UConn. And then all of a sudden you have a 33-16 that doesn't have any banners. So that was a thought process last year. With us winning the regular season this year, I think it means a little bit less. Obviously you always want to hang as many banners as you can. You want all these guys to walk away with fistful of rings, SEC tournament and regular season and national championships. So it means a little less this year. I think that if you asked any of the guys, they would want to finish the job and get all the rings they can get. But
Dev, would you take a number one overall seed ring? Just hypothetical, because I don't know if any teams across the country would ever do something like that.
Now, the University of Florida wins championships, so they don't have to resort to participation rings due to accomplishments before the tournament. When you win the actual tournament, you get rings for that too.
Yeah, just an observation I thought I had. That's all.
Well, to your point, Devin, on comparing it to last year, where who's to say if we don't win the tournament, the SEC tournament, that is, if we are a one seed? I think that might have been a debate. I don't quite remember, but whereas
yeah, it was. It,
right. And this year, if you win the regular season, whatever happens in the SEC tournament, I don't really think it impacts your seeding in a negative way. It can only probably benefit you. So I think it's just kind of twofold in that sense, completely different. And I'm, I don't want a one seed ring. Obviously, we don't need those. Obviously, we're not going to be a one seed this year, but I wouldn't mind, just get the regular season, just let the seeding fall where it may, and what the projections are looking like. I kind of like what we're seeing.
Well, you remember last year, we beat Alabama, I want to say in the quarterfinal.
Semis, I believe.
Was it the semis? And yeah. You had Lenardi basically say before that game, if Florida wins, they lock up a one seed. And then we win the game, Tennessee beats Auburn. And the next day on Sunday, I don't know if it was for ratings or if it was just the goalposts kept moving, but Lenardi basically said Florida and Tennessee was playing for the one seed on SEC Championship Sunday. So it was like that whole SEC tournament week last year, the goalposts kept getting moved for who would end up getting the one seed. I think that we're more on the fence between a two and a three going into the end of, assuming that we win the games we're supposed to win. And, I imagine we finish league play 15-3 at worst, maybe 14-4 if things go wrong in Rupp, which Georgia just won in Rupp. So if we get upset and then lose that game at the end of the regular season, 14-4, I think it's like the worst you're looking at in the regular season. And I don't think that drops you below the three line, just knowing what the other teams around the country are going to do.
Kentucky lost to the Gators, the refs, and Mike White in 4 days.
Some are saying they lost all three at once.
That's a tough stretch.
Yeah, Mike White come in there and get there. Georgia's first win in a row since, I think, 2009.
Wow. That puts them probably on the right side of the bubble for the time being, maybe, right?
That's what it showed as the time dwindled away, is that they're in with a win like that. Hey, congrats to Mike White and the boys. You know, we might as well just get another contract extension going on in Athens.
It's a huge win for them. You got to love where he's taking that program.
Correct. Yeah, keep him as long as you want.
I know we mentioned maybe not winning the SEC tournament, but it would be funny if we maybe had a draw against Georgia and maybe their season was on the line and we just do what we do against them.
Yeah, in that case, let's win the SEC tournament.
Obviously, I don't think that would be in like the championship. I'm talking, you know, after our, you know, well, I guess we'd probably have like a double bye in this case, so they'd be going on a pretty good run.
Yeah, double bye Friday game. And, you know, that one seed that we're hoping to lock up in the SEC tournament, we're not playing at 9 or 10 o'clock Friday night either. I know that's been a usual occurrence for the Gators in years past. I'm kind of sick and tired of that time slot. So I'd really appreciate a noon Eastern or, you know, noon Central, with it being in Nashville, tip off and getting the boys out, getting them out early, get some long rest, because I think we've turned and played from, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock at night and turn around and play at 1 o'clock on Saturday. So yeah, we really have had some tired legs in this tournament. So giving us almost a full day, that's another reason why we want to lock up this one seed and why tonight's matchup in Tuscaloosa between the Razorbacks and Tide is something to watch for all Gator fans.
That's a lot of ball that, in particular, how Condon and Chinyelu have played. I mean, they played into April last year after playing 40 games, you know, whatever they do in their off season, but full season this year, probably all of them averaging like 28 minutes a game. None of them have missed a game yet, knock on wood. So a lot of minutes adding up for those guys. So hopefully they, you know, if we keep dog walking teams and winning games by 25 points, you can kind of limit those minutes and give some, you know, breathers, nights where certain guys get 20 minutes or 22 minutes or whatever. But that's something that I'm watching this last month of the season to see if any of those guys start showing signs of fatigue or the tired legs that you start, you know, noticing this time of year.
Yeah, we got another road test before we're at home for a full week for the first time, and it feels like
two road tests. Oxford and then Austin and then back at home.
Ah, you're right. Then we got back to back at home. My bad. Forgot about that midweek trip to Austin.
Hopefully that's not that moment.
Hopefully our team does not have that same mindset as yours truly. Anything else to hit on? I know around campus, Gators hosted the Gator Invitational at Mark Bostic on this past weekend. Big win. I think they smoked Auburn by 13 or 14 shots. Really, that's the best field I've seen at Mark Bostic in quite some time. I know I went 2 years ago to watch the boys before a basketball game. I don't know if it quite synced up last year for a home golf and a home hoops game. We had Oklahoma State, who's a top 15 team and one of the best programs in the country in terms of college golf.
I believe they're defending national champions.
Did they won it last year, right?
I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on it.
And is Auburn the year before that? So we had three of the last four defending champions in Gainesville this past weekend at Mark Bostic. Yeah.
The guy who won on Auburn has your same namesake, Jackson Coivin. I'm pretty sure he already has his PGA Tour card.
Yeah, and he won the low medalist despite their team getting Molly walked by the Gators. So great to see JC Deacon tonight in the O-Dome as well. Fist pumped him, told him congrats on the huge win. I think that's like five straight years of four tournament victories in the regular season. he's done a really good job of turning that program around. Obviously, winning the national championship in 21, 22?
23. I was there. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Summerall was also in attendance, not just for golf, but the Gator Kentucky game. He was also in the O-Dome tonight. So really, really awesome to see the football coach partake in, and not just the second biggest sport on campus, basketball, but out there hitting the links, rocking the swinging Gator gear.
We can't wrap up. We can't wrap up without Devin's baseball minute. Lost the season opener to UAB. Won three straight since then. Beat Stetson 12-2 tonight. Kyle Jones, guys, is a stud. He hit five doubles. He's got a leadoff base hit in every game so far this season. Hit a grand slam tonight. Jacob Kendall, the freshman, hit a home run tonight. I am officially declaring Gator baseball back. We just have to have Liam Peterson realize that he's leader Liam Peterson on Friday nights. But I really like this lineup. Full disclosure, I did not watch a single pitch, and I box score watched this. But I am declaring Gator baseball back. We'll be tuned in tomorrow night when they play Stetson for a second time. Really like what this lineup's looking like. Hopefully the boys stay healthy. Kay Curlin's back, hitting the ball well, even though he's only seen live pitching for about 10 days, they were saying during the broadcast over the weekend.
It was in DeLand tonight and back in Gainesville Wednesday, correct?
Yep, that's right. So
and Sullivan's first appearance was Tuesday night down in DeLand after serving a 3-game suspension.
Total crap that he had to be suspended for that, but we'll move on. We're past that.
With our head coach. additional question for Devin's baseball minute. Obviously, you mentioned Liam Peterson. When does it become a topic of conversation? Because the guy behind him pitching on Saturdays, Aiden King.
He's a stud. What's the Sunday starter's name? He pitched.
Walls. I forgot his first name.
The kid, Colton Walls, I think is his first name. Kid from Hawaii. He's a transfer. Pitched really well on Saturday too. The Liam Peterson stuff, man. I mean, he's 3 years into his college career. You know, you don't want to make any sort of sweeping judgments or, you know, anything like that from opening night. It's a long baseball season. He's gotta the way you looked at it going into the season was you have the best 1-2 punch in the country with Liam Peterson and Aiden King. So he's got to hold up his end of that bargain. You got two guys that are projected to be top 10 major league draft picks in their classes. If Florida is going to get to Omaha, I think the lineup and the rest of the pitching staff is good enough to get to Omaha. If we want to win it all, we need Liam Peterson to live up to what his draft stock says he should be. And that's not walking five guys on opening night and giving up five runs and having a throwing error and just looking sloppy altogether. I mean, it kind of set the tone for the rest of the team. We made base running mistakes. We made errors in the field. It was just a really sloppy opening night. But the three games since then have been really good, really encouraging, especially the bats and the lack of walks. So that's the biggest thing to watch, I think, with the pitching staff. Is it's been a bugaboo for a few years now, walking batters. So if they can cut down on that, Liam Peterson, just like the rest of them, has the stuff. It's just a matter of harnessing it and not giving away free bases. So long season, we'll see what twists and turns it makes. I don't think this is a team that's starting 1-11 in SEC play like last year's did. You know, that'll be a good gauge. The first four SEC weekends to see if we start better than 1-11.
Any good non-cons coming up? I know we got Miami, Florida State. We play, you know, three separate single evening midweek games. When do we have Miami?
That'll
be the first real test.
Let's see.
Miami is still Miami in baseball.
Yeah, it's the logo. We play Kennesaw State this weekend and then Miami the following weekend in Coral Gables.
Gotcha. So
our South Florida Gator Breakfast with the Gators listeners, we'll have to pull up to the friendly confines of Miami, Alex Rodriguez Park.
It's always a good series.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
And ironically, I know we don't – it's not a true series against Florida State. Those games are always pretty competitive, and I do like how they break it up with the game, the two homes, and then the game in Jacks.
Yeah, but you just don't get your – you know, your 1-2-3 punch on the hill.
And that is
matchups, which kind of makes it a little odd, yeah. Right? You know?
It's like it's FSU every year, but you don't get any of your top four or five arms to go.
Right.
Liam Peterson, unless we see him in a regional or super regional.
Correct. So, all right. Anything else, fellas, before we wrap up?
No, good show. Excited for it's getting to be nut crunching time for the basketball team. So big games, and every night's a big one.
Well, I'll turn over to SVP Todd Golden's about to join. So
there you go.
For that remote. All right. Well, appreciate everybody for listening. Make sure you like, subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Follow us on Twitter at BreakfastWTG. Again, we're part of the Save Miguel Network and brought to you by our partner, Norse PA. Go Gators.
Go Gators.